I want me or my wife to be one of the first phone calls she makes if like something major happens, where even if she knows she shouldn't have done it, she knows like, hey, I can call dad. Like, he's gonna help me. And if I don't set that now, then I don't think I'll ever get that phone call.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Reeser, and today I'm joined with who has become a really good friend, Mr. Brian Graff. Brian, how are you, sir?
Exhausted, but good. Extremely exhausted, but feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, you've got good reason to be exhausted outside of just being a dad.
We
have our own stories that go along with that. We can get into some of the reasons you're exhausted, and quite frankly, there's some reasons that probably most of us don't have that reason to be exhausted for. So it's like a little bit of a cliffhanger for everybody. But
yeah, I mean, I think we've pushed this podcast back 4 times.
Good things come to those who wait, Brian.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what we're doing. So yeah. Just a quick thing on Brian. We actually, we connected a few months ago, just out of the blue. I had noticed, I was actually sitting there doing some work at this coffee shop and turned around and saw this guy with his wife, his 2 kids, and the kids were having a good time. Everybody just seemed to be, you know, it was just one of those cool moments. And so me being that guy in that moment, whoever I was working with, I said, hey, I want to go talk to this guy real quick. And this is when I was just starting to build the Skilled Dad. And I went over, and I'm pretty sure I said this cheesy line, but I've kind of come to like it. But I was like, I like the way you dad.
Yeah. I think it's exactly how you started.
And it was just cool to see. And, you know, I think you're probably like, who the heck is this guy coming and chatting me up? But it kicked off a great conversation, and then we've just talked. And we'll get to more of your story, but you're in California.
Yep.
Right now I'm in Nashville, and got to learn more about Brian's story and just him as a man, him as a dad. And he's got an epic story, which I'll allow him to tell here in a second. But even though we pushed it off 4 times for good reason, I'm really glad to have you here, and thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I think we've been, since you talked about it, I told my wife, like, I want to be a part of that show, either on it, like somehow involved in it. Like, that seems like a pretty epic idea, this whole Skilled Dad thing. Cause I mean, I've never heard of it. And you know,
nobody had at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I heard a joke, but it was like super true that moms have been trained to be moms since the day they were born. And it's like, dads are just kind of like, you'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. Here's a book. There's not even that many books.
Yeah. There's like a book where it's like, we think this, and it's usually written by a woman. It's like, here you go. Like, this is what you'd want to do. And I'm like, I don't read. Like, men don't read. At least most men I know don't read. It's like, hey. How do we learn?
Leaders are readers, Brian. We're going to get some reading going. We can start
to read now.
Well, you got a little more time on your hands. Well, let's stop keeping people on the edge here. Yeah. And if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your story, and we'll just take it from there, brother.
Okay. Well, I'm in law enforcement, so that's what's kind of been holding us off for so long. About, if you include military law enforcement, I'm at about 9.5 years. It's just crazy out in California, crazy actually all over, I think, the nation. And actually, if you look at the world and what law enforcement's doing everywhere, I think we're still kind of doing it the right way, but it's still nonetheless insane. And you hit me up like the week you hit me up to, hey, do you want to be on the show? And I was like, yeah, let's do it this weekend. This fire started in our county, which the county I live in is one of the, it's like, I live right in where the gold rush hit in California.
Oh,
so we have like, 1900, almost, 2000 square miles. So we're really huge. And this fire kicks off right in one of our little towns and it just took off and it became like the number one priority fire in the state really quickly. Even though it was this, I think at the time, the second biggest, and I think stayed the second biggest, it burned the most structures. Like it wiped a whole town off like the face of the earth. And so we were for like a month, maybe just over a month. I was like, yeah, sorry, Zach, don't have this weekend off. Like I'm working straight through it. So I'd go working from 12-hour days to the days off I should have, went to 14, 15 hours, and then right back to my 12-hour regular days and texting you, hey, can't do this weekend either. I got another 3-4 days working overtime, another 15-hour plus days. So it quickly went crazy fast, like no time for kids, no time for wife, no time for fun. It was work, 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 nonstop.
You're like, yeah, that escalated quickly, especially when we were here. We are 1 week chatting back and forth because you and I, we were just talking about this. We've mostly texted over the last couple of months because there's been so many things going on, but texted probably every week, multiple times a week. And you sent me a picture, which is an epic picture of the sun out yet with the smoke that's going on. It was, I think I told you, it's just kind of this mixture of like beauty and terror all in one shot. It was a great shot, but yeah, you've been busy, man. So again, thanks for hopping on here. Has everything, I mean, has everything kind of toned down a little bit now or?
Yeah, we're not doing the fire anymore. It's pretty much out. So there's just a couple, I mean, fire crews, they're just watching it and it's pretty much done. They stopped calling us for overtime. I mean, it got so bad, we were calling in any agency within Northern California to come and assist, and we had a ton of people out there. We had firefighters all the way from Southern California to Northern California. If they weren't on a different fire, they were coming to our fire, and then they get a day off, and then they go fight our fire or another fire. I mean, California's been on fire, I feel like, for the last 5 years. Every summer, we have huge fires.
Yeah, this one this summer was a big boy. Obviously, you've hit that one. Yeah. Well, now I'm glad it's out. I'm glad you're safe. Thank you for doing what you do and what you have done, taking care of people up there. And now, hopefully, you get a little bit more time with those babies of yours. Tell us about your family and, you know, a little bit about that story.
I got a beautiful wife. We've been married for coming up. I think we're at 10 and a half years now.
Nice. We actually have
three kids. My youngest, you probably didn't see because she was she's real tiny, but she was shy and she's hiding behind my wife when you came over and met us.
I saw her. She's a good hider, but I got three kids too. So, you know.
Yeah. So I got my oldest, she's six. She's like the most type A person I've ever met in my life. You can't teach her anything because she knows everything. You know how they are.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gorgeous, but I don't think any boys can like be at her level. So I'm really not worried about her. And then I got my son who's five and he's just all about everything outside. So every time I come home, hey, can we go on a hike? Can we play baseball? Can we go hunting? Can we go fishing? Can we do this? Can we do that? So I'm trying to get to a point where I can fulfill some of that, but there's no water in California right now either. So fishing's out. So we're trying to find a whole bunch of other things to do.
Yeah.
And my youngest is just a little girl. She's three. She's just an absolute sweetheart. And man, I'm just working to try to find a way to spend more time with them because I feel like they know my wife so much and they just know me as, oh, dad's just here for fun. That's all I know. You know, I'm a police officer and I take bad guys to jail and that's what they tell everybody.
That's your story to them right now. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. How often do you get to see, well, I mean, outside of extraneous things like what's been going on recently, but like how often within that, you know, law enforcement life do you get to spend with them?
I usually get a pretty good amount of time. Like I usually get a 3-day or a 4-day weekend. So outside of doing the house projects, the stuff my wife and I have to take care of.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm on like the SWAT team and some other assignments that I get called in for at times. But outside of that, probably I'd say two days a week, at least I get to designate time. But now I've been working on like when I come home, if it's not like too late where they're in bed, like, hey, 10 minutes of catch with my son. My daughters tell me all the stuff that they've been doing. And I try and give them each like about 10 minutes. So they get some dad time.
They get some of that one-on-one time.
Yeah. And then trying to fit in like monthly, like my goal is to take my kids out, each one by themselves, like once a month. So like 1 month will be my son, then my daughter, and they get to pick whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And then try to do like twice a month with my wife.
Mm-hmm. That's a smart man.
Yeah, it's not easy. I'd love to say it happens all the time, but there's so many times, like, I mean, on top of being my job, like you and I have talked and I've shared, like we sold our house in the midst of this, like right after this fire kicked off. It was like our house was on the market because the market was hot. We're like, let's capitalize on this. Fire kicks off. My wife basically by herself packs up our entire house, moves our entire house into storage and moves all of our other stuff that we needed to my in-law's house. And I was never home to do it. So then it was like for the longest time, if I was home, the little like hour or so I used to devote to the kids was to helping my wife pack. And there was like no time I saw the kids. And now we live in, I was sharing with you right before, till we figure out what we're doing. We live in a 28-foot trailer parked on my in-law's 5 acres. And we're just, you know, praying to God where he's leading us and what he wants us to do. But now I get a ton of time with them. I mean, they literally live 12 feet, sleep 12 feet from my bed.
I was going to say, that might be one of the things you need. You're getting a shared experience in close proximity.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it.
They're at an age where it's like, they're not teenagers. They don't want their own space. They all want to be right on top of each other. So they're absolutely having a ball thinking we're just living the camping life right now.
Yeah.
This tiny home living is easy for them and stressful for me and my wife.
For now, you might find like, hey, this minimalist thing is maybe working. We're just going to go and tour around in the camper.
That would be awesome if we could do that. And the best part is like not having a house payment, man, the stress of that financial burden was just like lifted off of my wife and I at the same time. And we're just kind of like, oh man, we could breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know your situation, but I was really hard pressed when I got married to tell, like, my goal was that my wife wouldn't have to work when we had kids. So right. The moment we had our daughter, it was like my wife stopped working. And I was like, hey, until they like graduate high school, let's have a parent in the home the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want someone else raising our kids, or, you know, I want them to be able to be open about what they want to learn and come into a place where we're not going to push necessarily what we believe on them 100%, but we're going to let them know what we believe in. And then if they want to do that, that's fine. If they want to kind of go their own way, that's fine too. But I mean, seeing them how much they need me or my wife as kids, and I'm like, that's only going to get harder as they get older. I mean, the little problems they have now, which is like, oh, I couldn't do the monkey bars all the way, or my sister pushed me, or they stared at me. I'm like, man, those troubles pale in comparison for what you're going to go through in elementary school, junior high. And then when you get to high school, I was like, tell my wife, I was like, babe, you have to be at home through high school. I could not imagine being a kid going through high school right now and not having a parent at home to be like, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I think something you said there sticks out in a way that, these little things here pale in comparison to what you may face down the way, but kind of like reading, you got to learn the alphabet before you can learn how to read. And so once you start conquering, it's building blocks, it's the steps that get there. And I've got a lot of friends that wives, you know, work at home. They're taking care of the household. The term of my wife doesn't work.
Yeah.
But if she's at home with the kids, she's working her tail off. There's a really good chance that she's working her tail off. And you didn't, I don't think you said that, but I've just learned enough. And sometimes we're spending some more time at home. It's like, that is a full-time gig in itself, but being able to have the fundamental time with your kids and teach them those little things and those building blocks, that's huge. So that's, I'm glad you guys are able to do that. Good for you guys.
Yeah. And yeah, I agree. Like when my wife is like, hey, I need a girl's night, and she's gone for 2, 4, 5 hours, whatever she takes, I'm usually like, oh man, I'm overwhelmed. It's been like 45 minutes. I'm like, hey, when are you coming home? This is way harder than I thought. Your job's not easy.
Well, you're about to get that crash course here in your 28-foot trailer.
Yeah, and man, the women who can do the families that can do both working and have all that time, like my buddy, he and his wife both kind of had jobs. They work from home, so they're both working from home, but they're both there for the kids, so they both can have opportunities to be at work and then take a quick break to be with the kids and back at work. I'm like, dude, that seems awesome that you both can do that. And I commend you. That seems ridiculously hard at the same time.
Yes. I was going to say everything comes with the cool things and then the challenge things too. Like if you're on a call like this, right, and you've got the kiddos running around, bouncing around if they're not in school yet, or maybe you got one in school and you have to, like, this whole last year has brought on a variety of new challenges for parents, and everybody's, you know, a lot of the parents are just busting it. So for parents out there, which is most likely most of us, great job of going out there and busting it. So
suck on the back if you don't get it from your kids.
Right. Yeah. So over the last, you said nine years you've been in the law enforcement, whether it be with military side or in civilian side?
Yeah. Like I think I'm coming up on 9 and a half. So yeah.
Okay. Right, yeah. It goes quick, right?
Some days.
Yeah. Some days. So what is it? The last episode, two episodes ago, if you go look at the episode, James Austin, he said this, which is, my wife started using it now too. So when he said that, it just like hit me. It happens really fast over time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you can't explain it, but it makes sense. But over that over the last 9 years and knowing, so if you've got 2 days with the kids, and in many cases, that's like a lot of us, if we're looking at the weekend, mm-hmm. But your days may not be consistent, right? Your shifts kind of move around, may not be consecutive. Is that right to say?
No, the way mine's kind of been lately is, I typically get a consecutive weekend.
Okay.
They try not to make us work to where we like have just random days off. They give us like a pretty solid break.
Oh, good. Good. So we're all trying to figure out in many ways how to maximize that time. And, but not just the time of kind of the days off, but then the 10 minutes that you got at night with each kid.
Yeah.
And doing that. So 9 years ago, and your oldest is how old again? Remind me.
He's six.
Yeah. So, my oldest is six as well. And, before you had your kiddo, and then when you had your daughter, what was one of the things that, maybe you didn't quite expect that caught you off guard? I mean, you've been working with people and, you know, a variety of situations, especially being the law enforcement side of it. And now you've got this little kiddo. Like, what was one of those things that stuck out to you? Like, wow, I didn't expect that. Or, you know, fill in the blank for me.
Well, one thing that I didn't expect and wasn't ready for, and I kind of wake up every day with it hitting me in the face, is how fast it goes. You know, like some of my leaders at my work and, like, you know, mentors in life, my dad, have been like, hey, the time goes by fast, just be ready. And, you know, as men, I'd say we kind of have goals that we want to achieve in our careers, financially, spiritually, whatever it is. And we push so hard for those, and we're like, man, in like 3 months I'm gonna hit this goal, or maybe it's a longer goal that you're going for, and you just, like, for me, like, I can dead focus on that and be like, I'm gonna get there. When I'm there, I'll have a break. I kind of miss a lot of stuff in between. And I think I came home a couple months ago and I was like, holy crap, babe, our daughter's six. Like, we're parents of a six-year-old. Where did that time go?
Yeah.
So being so focused on a goal, I was like, I feel like I've missed so much. And I was not ready for that. Like, I just figured, you know, your dad goes, like, time won't go by so fast. You'll get to see all the cool stuff growing up. Like, but I'm, my wife sees most of it. I miss probably 80% of it. I mean, I miss my daughter walking for the first time. I miss my son being born. I miss my son learning how to ride a bike. My youngest, I'm like, I got to be there when she learns to ride without training wheels, because I didn't see the other two. Like, just the to be able to take care of your family, like, there's a lot of sacrifices dads make, and I didn't, like, realize that.
Missed your son being born, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was in the middle of the police academy. I think I was 3 hours away. So when she went to labor, I was like, there's no way I'm making it.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There are a lot of sacrifices, and a lot of people listening. We're just talking about the variety of people that are listening to this thing. We have moms, we have dads, we have people that are planning to be dads. Had a chance to talk to a lot of just really fun and cool people through this thing. That's one of those things that we're all kind of looking at how it can figure out to maximize that time. Because as you and I were recently discussing, you know, jobs change in some cases, or whatever financial situations change in some cases, if that's related to a job or if it's not. But there is a cash flow. They call it a cash flow for a reason, but there's no time flow. Time flow is one way.
Yeah.
And that's the one resource that we can't quite get back. So that's the age old question. How do we maximize it? I'm glad to hear when you set your goals that you've got, some people may argue with me, but you've got that date and place to say, hey, by here. And your background too, outside of the military side, is you've got a leadership background, even in your studies as well.
Yeah.
Have you ever used OKRs?
No.
Okay. Have you ever heard of OKRs?
Okay. I don't think so.
I hadn't really, I've dove into those until a couple of years ago, and we started using them at the place that, that I worked with, and use them now quite a bit. And it stands for objectives and key results. Ultimately, what is the thing you want? What are the things that are going to tell you you've achieved your objective? And there's a special way to kind of look at it, and those would be your key results. So what things can you measure? And when those things line up, you've achieved your objective. And then here's the part that I like, and actually have applied it to some of my parenting style. My wife and I have adopted it to that, which is, it's not what's the one thing that we are going to go do as if that is the answer. You know, you pour into your resources into what we think is the answer. But when you step back and using this methodology and look at the key results that you've put that you can measure in some way, what are all the possible things that we could do to move the needle on those one or two or maybe three things that we put out?
Yeah. So
might be something to look at. It's interesting. But from even from the leadership, one of the things we've run into and seen is the parallel with leading in a work environment and how that spills over into the parenting and sometimes vice versa. How has your experience and some of your background played into your parenting, or has it?
Oh, every day. Like, man, I go from a job where, I mean, we kind of like command presence. We set the tone. We have like this authority, and we expect when we talk, the person to listen and comply, and when they don't, it's like, okay, there's a reason why you're potentially not, let's figure that out. And I mean, that can go from just a conversation or to like needing to use force, whatever it may be. I come home and like I have no respect, like it's all gone. Like I'm just dad, and I'm like, hey, clean up, and it's like no one's listening, no one's in anything, because dad's just the fun dad. And I've really had to take like gigantic steps backwards. Cause I mean, there are times when my fuse is just really short. Like I've used all my patience at work, and my fuse that started on the day was super long. Now it's really small. So I'm like, hey, I'm tired. Like, let's get this cleaned up. Let's get ready for bed. No one's listening. And next thing you know, I'm like, I'm going off. I'm, you know, raising my voice to my kids or punishing them. When it's just like, my wife will be like, pull me aside and like, hey, they're just being kids. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not used to that though.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you got to clean up your stuff, man. You can't sleep right in front of this business. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, officer. And they pick up their stuff and they leave. I come home. Hey, son, I need you to pick up your stuff. And he's just like, bah, and like runs off and plays. And I'm just like, what's going on?
A little so different patience. Skill set there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just always like, man, there's a reason why God put patience as one of the fruits of the spirit. Cause I see why you need it as a dad. I have like none.
And that's a big contrast though, because there's assumed authority with law enforcement, with police officers, with the law that we have in place. You know, in order for it to work, we agree that we abide by it, right? And so like, that's part of the system. When you're at home, you're dad, and you know, the method of obtaining authority is different, and it's not an inherent assumed thing. And then how do we build the influence?
And it's like a fine line. Like when I was a kid, my dad was like the authority. Like we'd do stuff and my mom would be like, I could punish you now, or we could wait till dad gets home.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't want to wait till dad gets home. Like dad is like, when it gets to him, it's no good. I told my wife, I said, I don't want to be that. I mean, I want to be a dad that they want to respect, but I don't want to be the guy that comes home and it's like, you dump all the punishment, like the kids need this and I have to go deal out the punishment, then be like, hey, I love you, but all the kids see is I'm punishing them. It's like trying to find that balance of being like an example of what a man should be like for my daughters, and a mentor and a leader for my son to raise him to be like a good solid man. And it's like finding that, you know, that balance, because there are kids that have no, like the parents want to be so much of a friend. And I don't necessarily think that being a friend 100% of the time is going to raise a solid, great kid. Cause I deal with a bunch of them where the parents can't punish their kids. Cause they're like, well, we want to be their friend. I'm like, well, we're in a special role now where they're your kids. So you have to figure out how to toe the line of being the person that they want to come to when they have a problem to solve, but also being able to like stand firm and hold that line of, hey, we don't go past this. And if we do, like maybe it's a respect issue or time for to like, where you have to dole out some punishment in some form, and you got to be that person to do it. I mean, you're almost like blessed to be that person, because that's what they're going to be raised off of.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. The balance of love and discipline and being the buddies, versus the flip side of that is also the formers to help mold them. And, you know, when they leave the house, when you leave the house and then they leave the house, and there, you know, there's that great debate of nurture versus nature. My wife and I have talked about that. And we're really curious to see what my youngest son is like, who's, you know, 3.5 months old. And I've got a 6-year-old. And then in between my daughter and her personality is so different than my son's. But her life has looked a little different. So there's the great debate of nature versus nurture. But that's an interesting thing you bring up with your dad kind of being more the authority figure, high disciplinarian. And so I've had this conversation a few times. Sometimes there's a huge overcorrection and go the other way. And it sounds like you're looking at what is that balance and how do we go about doing that? Have you found anything as you've been testing that and you realize, okay, something's not working here that you've applied that you could equip somebody else with, maybe that you've learned and kind of seeing that move the needle? And sometimes it's just because they're 3 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes. I mean, I think, you know, my daughter, my oldest at 6, she's at an age where I can kind of see the wheels really turning. So I bite my tongue a lot when I kind of want to like, oh, what are you doing? Like, that's so like, why are you doing that? We have taught you for 6 years not to do what you just did. And so I stop myself and I usually go, I want to know what she was thinking. Hey, what brought you to the thought where you said, this is a good idea, I'm going to move forward with it? And I want to see her critical think a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because now I get an answer where my son at 5, he sits there and he thinks, I mean, sometimes he thinks he's going to get in trouble, or he just doesn't know. And he just sits there and goes, I don't know. But My daughter's at that awesome age where she's like, well, I saw you or mom do this, and I figured like this was kind of the same thing. And she sits there and tries to explain it, and it kind of opens me up to be like, oh, well, now what I've done is I've unlocked a teachable moment to where I can either say, hey, you were on the right track, we just kind of executed it poorly, or I could be like, well, you weren't even on the same page as where we were when when you're referencing what your mom and dad did. So let's kind of figure out how to discern the between the two. That's kind of really lengthened my fuse with her. So I'm like, I get to hear her thought process, which to me is like the coolest thing, seeing how she learns, and then we get to work on it together.
I love that. It's the word that comes to mind when you say that is curiosity.
Yeah.
Going from I don't know another C word that would rhyme, but you wanting to react in that moment so that there's some frustration. Totally get it. And I know there's probably a lot of other people listening that get that too. But almost switching that to the curiosity of the wheels are turning. What's the process there? Which is cool because that circles all the way back to what you said more towards the beginning of the building blocks of the right now is not anywhere in comparison to the problems that you're going to face in the future.
Yeah.
And not even problems in a negative sense, but problems to solve, challenges that you'll face. And by unlocking that and helping that critical thinking, you're helping equip. And also, there's a cool thing there that I've seen happen. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but there's a different conversation and almost respect that comes with that because now you're working through something with someone, with the kiddo, with your
Yeah.
child, versus telling them. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think they understand the why more when you when it's not just like this is the way we do it, and this is why we do it, and they just kind of care like, oh man, if I do it any other way than this is they think that the way that I'm telling them to do it's the only way, when in reality there's so many different there's 100 ways to skin a cat, you know.
Yeah.
So my buddy who's another new dad, he kind of dropped a nugget on me, which I use all the time. I have to repeat it to myself because I fail at it all the time, but it's choose to respond instead of react. So when you see something or somebody says something that kind of like cuts at your feelings, or you see something that kind of like hits you pretty strong emotionally, instead of reacting on it, take a deep breath, look at what they did, give yourself 3 to 5 seconds and respond like, hey, like what are we doing out here? Like try and get a calm answer. And I mean, it even helps me with my marriage when I come home, my wife's done like said something, or we're trying to work through a problem together, and so she on her own tries to figure it out one way, and I'm trying to figure out the other way, and it doesn't line up. Instead of reacting, respond like, hey, okay, how come you were thinking this? Like, because this is what I was thinking, to talk about it. I do it with a kid, man, that just like it opens up the floodgates to just like my daughter feels way more comfortable with me. She's not in that like scared sense where she thinks she's going to get in trouble. It's more like, let's talk about it. And that like calmness is what she should have with me as her dad. So if something big happens when she's older, like I want me or my wife to be one of the first phone calls she makes if like something major happens, where even if she knows she shouldn't have done it, she knows like, hey, I can call dad. Like he's going to help me. And if I don't set that now, then I don't think I'll ever get that phone call.
That's powerful right there. If we don't set that now, we may never get that phone call.
Yeah. And then who
And
then it's like who they call. If they're not going to call like the people they should, which is their mom and dad, when they're maybe, you know, in high school, they went to a party and they got drunk, now they're getting a ride home. I don't want her to drive. I'd rather her be able to be like, hey, let me call my dad because he'll pick me up, no questions asked. Like he's that kind of dad.
yeah,
Like,
that's really good. As you're building trust, you're building
yeah.
that trust, and then she's six, and so you've got roughly, this is where my heart skips a beat a little bit. You got roughly 12 years to build on that, so don't wait.
Yeah, I know. And I'd love to sit here and say, like, oh, yeah, I'm perfect at it. I'm so far from it, man. Like, as I say things out loud, sometimes I'm like, hey, I need, yeah, that's something that you're working on every day. Don't forget that.
Welcome to the club, brother.
Yeah.
That's why we have this podcast. That's why we have friends like you. And that's why we have the opportunity to learn from other people because we're all figuring out. And I'm with you. Like, I'm facilitating this podcast, and I'm learning every day with everybody, and I'm perfect at none of it. It's a constant, constant getting better. Well, hey, what's really interesting is we somehow wrapped up the concept of OKRs all in that conversation. So go check out OKRs. I think you really like it. But what are the many ways that you can go and solve the problem? What is the many ways that kids can solve the problem? Well, so here's a question I got for you, because I know you've got a great circle of men, people that you work with. You mentioned a couple of your friends that are just having babies. What are three things that you, from your learnings or experiences, that you would equip someone listening to this podcast with, whether they're going to be a dad, a new dad, or are our age and are in the midst of it? And then I've got one kind of bonus one I want to ask you, and I hope it's okay. So we'll get there.
Yeah. Oh man, three things on the, I would say one of the biggest things is, if you have the time to do something with your kid, even if you're dead tired, do it. Cause I mean, your kid's only going to ask you so many times before they start assuming the answer. Mm. So like for me, my son's just getting into baseball and he wants to play catch every day, every night, every chance he gets. There are times when I got work to do. I have things, and I usually tell him like, hey, we'll do it. But I try my best to ensure that I play catch with him every day, because I don't want there to come a time when he doesn't want to ask me. Mm-hmm. And that's like, then I miss that moment where with my son, and the same with my daughters, when you, like I'd say as a dad, when you start hearing your kids talk about not getting any time with you, not getting one-on-one time, or needing this, needing that, like, look at it from their perspective and not your own. Because when I look at it from my perspective, I'm like, we just did this the other day. Like I just took you for ice cream, or I just play on the playground with you. But if it's, they're going to live their life from their perspective. So if they're constantly thinking that they never got to spend time with their dad, they're going to grow up thinking, yeah, I never really saw my dad. I didn't know him. If you hear their perspective, then you need to change their perspective, work on it to change it. And then I'd say one of the biggest things I did that's driven a lot of these changes that are occurring in my life, and what my wife and I are trying to do to figure out how to spend the time we have each day more wisely, is, and you probably, many guys on here have probably heard it from any leadership talk or any successful person, is like, I grabbed a journal, and along with the new books I've been picking up reading, because this COVID made me like really dive in, like I should probably be reading more books. Along with that, a thing I kept hearing over and over is like, write your own personal like vision statement and live. Yep. And I was like, oh, that's nothing. Like that'll never do anything. But I sat down one day and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to sit all day and think about what I like, where I want to be, what I could do to get there, and how can I word that? And I wrote it. I read it all the time. And then when things happen, I'm usually can go right back to it and be like, hey, babe, remember, like I put that, like we can get through this problem because I said we would do this. And it's go back to my vision statement. I repeat it to her. Remember this part of my vision statement for where I want us, my family to be. It's right here. So this is this problem we have for the whole last year. I've been saying this every day, we can get through it. So then when big problems arise, I don't really think that it's necessarily going to be a failure or like a closed door, but maybe it's like God's redirecting us into something else. So I'm like, hey, this could just be a redirect. Like, let's just get excited for it. If we're getting attacked, things aren't working out and everything looks like it's darkest, well, then we're probably on the right track because something doesn't want us to be there. So we're probably heading the right way.
Getting closer.
Yeah.
Hey, quick question on the vision statement. I think that's powerful from a personal standpoint, the mission statement along with that as well. Yeah. Do you know your wife's vision statement? I'm not putting you on the spot, but I kind of am.
I don't know if she's actually sat down and put one together for herself. Mine was kind of, when I wrote mine, if I'm honest, mine wasn't just for me. It was for like where I kind of want her and I to be. So I kind of thought of us together, but no, I'd actually be curious to ask what she would put down as hers.
Yeah, it was a humbling experience, but also very productive when my wife and I did that. I mean, in a business side of things, clear vision and shared vision is what helps teams typically reach those goals faster, because we understand it's clear, we're working towards the same thing. And I realized we hadn't done that in my house.
Yeah.
And so when we now do that annually, and then track, are we getting closer to where we want to be? Are we doing the things? It kind of helps is our compass to say, yeah, these decisions get us closer, these decisions would not. But when we first did that, we were close in some areas and way far apart in others. And so when you said that, just brought that to mind. But glad that you've got that and using it.
If I get the opportunity to be on this again, hopefully I can start it with, hey, I know my wife's vision statement.
That's now your contingency. I'm gonna have to call her and say, has this been done yet?
Yeah, or is he gonna make it up?
Oh, I love it. All right. So what's the third one? That's a good one.
Man, the third one, I'd say it's beyond just being a dad. And I think a lot of, and it's weird, I've heard this week more people talking about this. Like people that, like, literally I'll walk into a conversation, like I'm walking in to grab a cup of coffee at work or walk in to get something to eat, and I hear someone behind the counter saying a rule that my wife and I have in our marriage, that it's like, don't go to bed angry. Like, be like, never let the sun set and be angry, like go to bed with everything worked out. And I think that right there, being like never going to bed angry, along with doing your best to be on the same page as your wife, like just being that example of in your, like as a couple, in a marriage, like is huge for kids. I mean, because if you turn on the TV right now or the internet, I mean, things are changing so fast that this, like, example of what like a good home should look like is just being attacked every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the meaning's trying to change. So I just think being in it with your wife and being on the same page is a huge deal when you're being a dad and raising kids and being in a relationship with your significant other.
It's a home team, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hear about it enough, so I don't really want to add to it. I mean, 2020 for some people I know is one of the best years they've had, and then others, one of the hardest. And then in some cases, flip that, 2021 has inverted, and you just add some of these additional dynamics. But yeah, having that home team being strong. Here's the bonus, just kind of on that question, if you're open to it. I have a number of friends within the law enforcement community. There's a lot of great dads that I know, just a lot of great people, great moms. It has been a tough year. I mean, yeah. Per what you said on the news, per some of the additional things that just have been going on in a variety of arenas, it's been pretty tough. And historically, it can be tough on a family already. That occupation already is tough on a family in many ways. Any words of encouragement or something that you would send over to anybody that's currently in law enforcement that you'd like to share with them, or that you'd be open to sharing with them?
Like for in law enforcement, for the depending on, like, if you're thinking of, if this is for you or not, depending on what that reason is, just the one thing I was told by one of my mentors was, if not you, then who? If it's not you that's going to show up to kind of hold that line, be that difference, be that dad to a kid that doesn't have a dad, sometimes be the voice of encouragement for others. I mean, we wear many hats in law enforcement. We're not just out there taking people to jail, but we're out there for so many different reasons. So, I mean, we're called on their worst days, and some people's worst days are not as bad as others, but it's if not you, then who? So, I mean, if you're struggling with finding your meaning in it, if not you, then who? And then the one thing I kind of tell my trainees, it's like, this, one, this job isn't for everybody, and two, this job doesn't have to be forever. You can learn a whole bunch in law enforcement that will go in so many directions. And I always tell them, leaving one career for another is not a failure. It's just a stepping stone.
Thank you for that. I know I've got some buddies and also some people, quite frankly, I don't know that are listening that are within that community, and wives, right, that are in that community as well. So thank you for that, and continue to say thank you for what you are doing and what you have done. Interesting. I like that takeaway. I'm going to utilize that. Not for everyone. Not forever. Up until that point, I think everything you said could be cross-referenced from being a dad, regardless of your occupation.
Yeah.
As well, except for that one point.
Yeah.
Once you're dad, you're dad. Whether you're there or not, whether you like it or not, you're in. Yeah. Best job you ever get there. But you're on that one.
You don't get to take a break. And that's the only one you get to see, like, you, no matter how much you invest, whether you invest a lot or you invest a little, you're going to see the results.
Yeah.
They're going to be good or bad, or, I mean, who knows? I mean, you're going to see them.
You're going to find out, but if not you, then who?
Yeah.
I love it. Brian, man, I'm glad we were able to finally connect. I'm glad that we're able to connect because the fire's going out. And just glad to, I get to see your face, have you on here, and contingent upon our agreement, I'd love to have you back here.
Yeah, hopefully next time it's in the treehouse, man. We're out there.
Hey, that studio is coming along.
Yeah, dude. Excited for that.
Yeah, it's coming along. But hey, I appreciate it. Please tell your wife thank you for allowing me to, and your kids for allowing me to have some of your time. And we'll do this again sometime.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, man.
Awesome. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode with Mr. Brian Graff and I. And I just want to, again, thank Brian for being here and his story. And he's been working really hard, just like all of our law enforcement that's out there. And all of you as dads and moms, we're busting. And we all have things that we're facing. I'm hoping that you can take some things away from Brian's story and our discussion today that you can apply to your life. We'd love for you to subscribe to this podcast. You're listening to it right now. If you're just kind of putting a toe in the water, please subscribe. More importantly, if you know somebody that you think of that this might benefit, please pass it on to them. The main goal is that we can help connect other people with other people and hear some of the nuggets and things that we're learning, and also find sometimes that we got a lot of common, whether we know it or not. And we also have a lot of things to learn. We're equipping each other through that. So if you want to follow us on socials, you can follow us at Skilled Dad on whatever platform, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. But stories are powerful. And while we're sharing here the stories of dads, don't let that stop you from sharing your story with some random stranger so you can meet a guy like Brian and make a good friend over time. We can't wait to have you on the next episode. We thank you for being here. You're listening to The Skilled Dad.